Thank you, Sarah. Our final set of news items for this part of today's recording begin with a rescue helicopter and RAF Coltishall. A museum on the outskirts of Norwich is set to take on the restoration of a piece of aviation history. The City of Norwich Aviation Museum has acquired a Westland Wessex helicopter from the Museum of Wales. It plans to use the new acquisition to help tell the story of a tragic air-sea rescue from RAF Coltishall near Wroxham. Although the aircraft was never used in action, it is an example of the kind that was, and played a role in its development. The helicopter was built around 1958-59 and was used for trials. It is one of the oldest of the pre-production models and was the fifth ever model ever built. Originally assigned to the Royal Navy, it spent time with the Royal Aircraft Establishment, but was never used as a squadron aircraft. It was used to develop later models of the Wessex and is believed to have assisted in developing autopilot systems. Its original use was in anti-submarine operations in the Cold War, but it was also used for search and rescue and as a general workhorse aircraft. The Wessex was one of the first turbine-powered helicopters and had powerful engines which increased its payload while lowering noise and vibration. In 1988, the Royal Navy replaced the Wessex with the Sea King.
Norfolk Fords closed to traffic after the death of a motorist who drowned after his car was swept away may never reopen, with firefighters worried that they pose a significant risk to life. Fire chiefs say they have had to rescue more than 20 drivers from the county's river crossings, with county council officials considering permanent closures of three of them. It comes after the death of Barry Howard, 75, who drowned when his vehicle was swept down the Tass as he tried to drive through Shotsham Ford on his way home to Cossey from a Norwich City evening game at Carrow Road. The crossing has been closed ever since the tragedy in December 2023. Following an inspection of all 47 Fords in the county, which Norfolk County Council is responsible for, the authority also closed Fords at Castleacre and Westacre, which both take traffic through the River Nar. The council is considering possible permanent closures for the Fords and has extended the current closures while their future is considered.
The figurehead of a Norfolk countryside charity has lamented the deeply depressing growth of massive solar farms across the county. Sir Nicholas Bacon of the Raveningham Estate in South Norfolk is the county president for the CPRE, that's the Campaign to Protect Rural England, which celebrates its centenary year. During CPRE Norfolk's annual meeting at Norwich Cathedral, he reflected on the importance of safeguarding the county's unique landscapes and rural character. He said he is supportive of good development, but he echoed the charity's campaigning concerns over mega solar farms following a proliferation of massive energy infrastructure projects and proposals in the area in recent years. One of the issues that I think is really tragic is about the whole question of these solar farms, he said. Don't you dare call them farms. They are not. They're just the suburbanisation of the countryside. They are delocalising power generation. It generates electricity, but it has to go as part of the infrastructure into large pylons to transport that energy to wherever it is wanted. Whereas, for example, there are 5 square kilometres of industrial roofing that could be used for solar panels. And there are probably many, many more houses which could have solar panels.
A garden inspired by the Norfolk Broads will be at this year's Chelsea Flower Show. Titled A Seed in Time, the garden is designed by Baz Granger and is being shown by wealth manager Killick & Co. The design highlights the sustainable beauty and heritage of East Anglia's iconic reeds, while promoting biodiversity and traditional crafts. Central to the garden's concept is Phragmites australis, the common reed that has long shaped the ecology and architecture of East Anglia for centuries. Hand-woven bird nesting baskets crafted by Karen Beck from King's Lynn will also be featured. Nurseries supplying the project include Peter Beale's Roses in Attleborough. Mr. Granger, a landscape designer with Landform Consultants, said, "I've created a calm family garden, rich in biodiversity, inspired by the wetland landscapes of the Norfolk and Suffolk Broads. The garden features a sunken wetland fed by rainwater, clay-rendered structures inspired by straw and reed bale construction, and three traditional drying racks dressed with authentic Norfolk reeds." Mr. Granger said, "We're showcasing the reed's low-impact, renewable qualities and celebrating a disappearing craft from Britain's natural wetland heritage."
In Norwich of the late 1960s, hundreds of people from London were arriving in the city to work in a brand new office called Sovereign House, the new home of HM Stationery Office. They were joining about 300 locals in the giant seven-storey building on Botolph Street, a landmark in a bold new development by the name of Anglia Square. One visitor in 1968 was our talented journalist, the late Charles Catchpole, who wrote, "One of the big mysteries surrounding the stationery office is the simple question, what does it do? In a nutshell, we keep the various government departments going," said Mr. H. Jackson, a staff inspector of the establishment's division. "We are not a policy department. Our work is very much behind the scenes. We operate like a commercial business in many ways." And these were the days when computers were arriving in the workplace. A mighty brain was about to be put into operation at Sovereign House, dealing with information of all kinds from every ministry in Whitehall.
We have now reached the end of part one of today's recording. Neil and Marianne will follow on in part two with more news, another feature, an information desk. So Paul and I will say goodbye for this week and hope you enjoy the rest of your listening.
Goodbye.